Mr. Pop.
What's the matter, kid? Don't you like clowns?
This is Rock and Roll, your weekly shot of sport and music with Kevin Hillier, Rowan Connolly, and Brian Mannix.
Well, hi everyone. Welcome to another edition of Ruck and Roll. My name's Kevin Hillier, and the ensemble today is the one and only Brian Mannix, Life of Brian podcast, raconteur, rock star, singer, songwriter, actor, and someone who walks the streets a lot. Hello, Brian.
Hello, Kevin. How are you?
I'm quite well. How's your good self?
Out of my brain.
Fair enough. And of course, the third part of our ensemble is one and only author, radio broadcaster, footyology person, and bloke who cleans the pools. And that, of course, is the one and only Mr. Mark Fine.
Hello, gentlemen.
All right.
Are you talking to us? Hello, Finey. How are you?
Oh, I'm bored out of Brian's brain as well.
Very good to see you sharing a brain, boys. What's happened in the last 7 days in your life that has been exciting, Brian, and has been different and hasn't been a Groundhog Day experience?
Okay, well, during the week I've been visiting a few friends.
What?
And on Thursday night I went out to Pellegrini's for dinner. Then I went and saw Harry Potter and the Cursed Child at the Regent Theatre.
What?
Went down, did some dancing at the Underground, then did some lap dancing at Goldfingers, basically just been talking a lot of bullshit all week.
So nothing's changed?
No.
Yeah, right. Geez, it's the really silly, small, stupid things that you miss that you just go, because for those people not listening in Victoria, we're still in very heavy lockdown, and it is starting to get to us. In the last 7 days, Finey, apart from, you know, getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to drive your son to work because he's an apprentice and hasn't got a license, what have you done that's kind of broken the mold and is exciting?
I had a dream and Brian was in it.
Ow.
Speaking of boring out of brains.
No, true. So for some reason, I had this dream about Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And that they were casting it and that Brian was basically, like, it was a mega hit and it was a Brian Mannix production.
Oh, right.
Okay.
And I had said to him, it was in one of those old theatres, and I had said to him, what role are you playing? And he said, no, I'm the producer.
Huh.
And I said, but you'd be fantastic in it. Why, like, and I sort of said, you'd be perfect to be a riffraff.
Yeah.
And the show was already on. We were out the front talking about it. And he went in there and he stopped the show to recast himself.
Right.
But then it was really weird because there was nobody in the audience and the audience was like Faulkner Park. And I was, how could you make money? You've got like 10 people watching. And it's in this huge auditorium. You should have it somewhere smaller. And then it sort of rambled on into dogs running on the stage and Brian claiming that it was not correct. So, Brian, you're in my dreams.
Oh, fantastic.
Right. Good to see the Alston Week mushrooms are still of the high quality that they have been for many, many years. Shush.
Yeah, tell you what. Sorry. They're now in South Yarra, and they're even better.
I tell you what, Kev, you picked a hell of a time to record this week's podcast because just as we speak right now, Dan Andrews has just come on the TV with an announcement. I'd be very interested in hearing that.
Yeah, we just don't get enough of him on the telly, do we, really? Well, he won't be singing, he won't be doing the Monty Python sketch where they go, throw out your dead, because fortunately and thankfully there weren't any reported in today's figures, which is terrific news as opposed to yesterday when they actually doubled up on a couple.
Fair enough.
Quite unbelievable. Well, it could be worse. I mean, you're listening to this podcast now. It could be worse. Imagine this. In America, they are getting ready. Joe Rogan is the number one podcaster in the world. He has millions listened to his podcasts, and the podcasts go for hours. And it's a rambling kind of talk between Joe, who's a, I think, if I'm right, he's a former wrestler or a sportsman of some description who now has this podcast show where he just gets all these people in and they just talk. They just ramble and talk. He's about to do a 4-hour podcast debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden.
Well, I didn't think Joe Biden could stay awake for that long.
Well, I wouldn't have thought either of them could have stayed awake for 4 hours in a row. And my God, can you imagine the dribble? I mean, it'll start with dribble. What happens when dribble descends into? What does it descend into? Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah, neither do I.
Is he hosting the debate?
Well, I believe the 4-hour debate between Trump and Biden will happen on his podcast.
Wow, talk about the power of a podcast.
Yeah, it's quite stunning, isn't it? Quite amazing. Mind you, it's obviously 4 hours, no holes barred, and off you go. So that you can do that on a podcast because you don't have, I guess, the rules and regulations of a television network. So, but a 4-hour podcast with Donald Trump, Joe Biden and Joe Rogan, that will be to be missed. At least I will be. Now, Brian.
Yes.
A mask.
Well, maybe we could organise a debate between Daniel Andrews and Brian Mannix.
Oh, jeez. That'll go for 4 minutes before one of them storms off in a chauffeur-driven huff.
Yes, right. Fair enough.
Yeah, well, you would. Masked Singer update. It's finished. It's over. It's done. It's 1.6 million Australians watched it this week, and that's it.
It could have been 1.6 million and one watched it this week, except I didn't watch it. So I'm told it was quite clever that they had people in New Zealand and they all looked like they were together, but really, who cares?
Yep.
Who won it?
Bonnie Anderson? Does that name ring a bell?
Yeah, she's
a Neighbours
actress.
She's
an actress. Of,
yeah.
Yeah.
She was and one
Eddie
of the
Perfect
last three.
Was,
yeah, he was in
Eddie
it.
Eddie Perfect. He was the full neck lizard bloke, I think.
Yep. Bonnie Anderson was the bush ranger. Eddie was the frill neck lizard, and I think it was the girl who was our Eurovision Song Contest winner was the other one in the final three.
Oh, was that Katie Miller-Heidke? Or?
That's the one. I think that was her.
Right. Oh, well, good for them.
So there you go. So the Masked Singer is now officially ended. What will we watch on television? Jeez.
Rooting with the Stars, I think, is due to start up soon.
Sitting around the house with
cock,
the Stars.
My Cock Rules, I think that's coming on later on in the year.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that's awesome. It's coming up.
We look forward to that. Can't wait for that one. All right, let's talk some sport as we do on the Ruck and Roll podcast. The AFL finals, the NRL finals, all the final series are about with us. We finally got the announcement of where it's going to be played, so the Gabba, obviously, and a night grand final. Finally, your thoughts on all those things that have happened in the footy world in the last week or so.
Well, I think this has been the year that the AFL have been able to, under extraordinary circumstances, do some things that they've always wanted to do or been sort of pushing towards doing. And one of them is a night grand final. I'm not against the night grand final. I don't think it's a terrible thing. I also don't think it's necessarily the great spectacular that everybody thinks fireworks turns a game of football into. But yeah. I don't mind it being at night. Gabba, in the end, seemed a fairly logical place to have the grand final. As for what teams will be competing in the grand final, Richmond's very impressive win over Geelong really put them in pole position again.
Yep.
They're probably going to have to get a Port Adelaide round week one of the finals, and that's not going to be easy. Port Adelaide are on top for a good reason. So I think there's plenty of good football to be had. Look, there's still, for our team, St Kilda and the Bulldogs hoops to jump through before they make the final.
Yep.
And St Kilda shooting themselves in the foot on a weekly basis. Another game they could have won against West Coast, they binned. So, yeah, they've got a game against GWS. they can lose it and still make it. But, you know, really, who wants to be losing games and making finals? Let's hope they, as a St Kilda supporter, win it and get some momentum. And they'll probably play Collingwood first week in the finals if they do that.
Are you concerned at all that now the COVID-19 and the whole restructuring of the season, the rejigging of the season, everything that's happened this year with the football season has given it an excuse for everything? So whatever you don't like about the game, whether it's where it's being played, how it's being played, whatever, you've got to get out clause. You push the COVID-19 button, and that gets you an excuse out of everything. Are you worried, because I certainly am, that next year the footy is not going to look any better than it does now, and we'll be back to 20-minute quarters and all those things, and yet the football will still be as congested and as ugly to watch as it currently is?
Hopefully not. They need to – look, the handling of the holding the ball this year has been disgraceful. So they need to have a look at how they've mucked that up good and proper.
Yep.
And, yeah, look, I'm hopeful, more than certain, that longer quarters will return the game, the scoring, to something like it was. But I'm not certain of it.
It's more kind of rugby mall looking with each game that I watch. I just see more and more of that in the game. I'm not saying that that's all that you see in the game. You do see some great passages of open play and the ball moving really quickly and all that. But, gee, there's a lot of that kind of scrimmage sort of bodies falling on top of bodies, ball held underneath blokes.
They're not paying holding the ball anymore. They just put their whistles away. The umpiring is cowardly. And that's the only word I can use to describe to not paying free kicks. I was watching a piece of play the other night, and the whole thing was a rolling ball, un-AFL-like, looked like rugby, everything you said, and it didn't have to be because there were two or three clear free kicks in it, but they're just not paying them. And that, you know, that sort of catch cry, put the whistle away, is incorrect.
Yeah.
Not paying the free kick that's there is the reason why we're having these unfootball-like passages of play become so regular.
Hey, Brian, I know your team struggled of recent weeks, but have you been watching other games of footy, or have you kind of – has footy lost you a little in the kind of the way it's being played?
Yeah, I think I've pretty much put the cue back in the rack for the season. I've watched bits and pieces of games, but, you know, that's your long Richmond game. You know, 11 points they've got till about three-quarter time or whatever it was. It was just horrible to watch. I'm finding it, you know, as I said before, when your team's not playing well, you realise what a shit game it is. It's just, you know, it's not a very good game. If people say it's the best game in the world, it's not even the most popular game in Australia. I think it's, and the way it's played at the moment is just a disgrace. It's horrible to look at. It's 36 blokes running around the ball like they're, you know, under eight.
Yeah.
No good.
Yeah, no, it doesn't look good. Tell you what did look funny, and I've only seen very small footage of it, very little footage of it, is the American football started on the weekend, and they're playing in stadiums with no crowds at all. American football's hard to watch a whole game. A highlights package is good, but hard to watch a whole game. But without any crowd whatsoever, God almighty, is a desolate-looking game.
Well, they'd still have about 300 blokes on the sideline that are all part of the team, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they do, which is kind of ridiculous, you know. And about every one in every six has got a mask on.
How did Tom Brady go with his new club?
Must admit, I haven't seen the results. I'm not sure. Finey might know.
No, I don't know. Yeah. I don't. That's worth looking at.
Yep. Interested to see
how. It's interesting how all sports without crowds look not just different, but sort of, is it the crowd that makes us drawn towards sport at the top level? And without it, is it just a little bit ho-hum? Is it an illusion created by the fervour that is a big crowd and the noise and the, you know, sort of the atmosphere? And in the end, is sport just not quite as important as we think it is?
Yeah,
I get that feeling a bit without a crowd.
I'm with you. Hey, Brian, I'll ask you, because there's a really good, I guess, parallel between the music world. You're in a studio, you're doing 50 years, And then you're at the Maya Music Bowl and you're doing 50 years and there's 80,000 people there.
Yeah. They're two different beasts, really. You know, one of them, if you're in the studio, you're just trying to get it perfect. And if you're doing it live, you're trying to make it entertaining. I think, you know, it's a bit like, too, if you hear a joke and then you hear people laugh at the joke, it makes it funnier. Yeah. Only get the same sport. It's the crowd cheering does draw you into the game more. And same as, you know, laugh tracks on comedies make you laugh and make you realise, oh, that's funny, yeah, okay. So I think the crowd is sadly missed.
Yeah, and it's a really good point. There's a really clinical way about doing things in the studio or without a crowd around, because I imagine the players and as a band member, you'd be the same. You get drawn into the crowd reaction, so you start to feed off them, which we're not getting in any of the things that are going on at the moment.
Exactly right. The crowd sort of inspires you to greatness, I suppose, and I think Essendon clearly missed the crowd this year because they didn't even come inspired to mediocrity. So there you go.
So now you're blaming the crowd as well as the coaching staff.
I'm blaming everybody but me.
Fair enough. Night grand final. Look, I'm not sure that it's going to be. I will tell you, it's going to be interesting. Though it's a massive day in terms of a sporting day because the Cox Plate, which is for many years been the race that the racing industry has always said is the best race, it's on the same day as the grand final. So it'll be an interesting little exercise for Channel 7, who have rights to both.
Yeah, and they're trying to sell the rights to the cricket.
Yeah. Now, I know you're like me, Fonda. You're a mad cricket fan and a bit of a cricket tragic. What are you making out of all this kind of what's going on in the cricket world? Is our cricket in a bit of trouble right at this particular moment in terms of its long-term future?
Well, Test cricket is the commercial viability of broadcasting and hosting Test cricket is under threat, isn't it? I think that I don't like broadcast networks. I don't like the way they... I mean, when I say I don't like them, I don't like the bottom dollar is totally decided by apparently men in suits disconnected to the real world. And quite frankly, the people that are making decisions about the broadcasting of the game, which is really central to the survival of, say, Test cricket, could not give a tinker's cuss about the future of Test cricket.
Yep, true.
They're only worried about advertising, bottom lines, you know, making money. So as long as cricket in this country is reliant on a broadcast deal for its viability, then Test cricket is in perilous danger.
Yep. Well, for that matter, 50-over cricket's probably in a bit of trouble too, because it's not the kind of walk-up start for audiences that it once was. We're going to finish up the only really viable one that television's going to want to do is the 2020.
Yeah, and that ain't cricket.
No. Well, it is to the younger generation coming through. It's the cricket they want to watch.
Yeah, you know, so it's a form of cricket, but, you know, say goodbye to everything that we understood as what it takes to being a cricketer.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that is
durability,
really sad.
Durability as a bowler, patience as a batter, just everything. It's not really the game of cricket that, you know, not only that we understand, but that has become over a century such an interesting and intricate sport. It all dies if all we play is 2020 cricket, because that is just, you know, hit and bash and four overs maximum for bowlers. That's nowhere near the sport that cricket's meant to be.
Well, the music industry's gone through a very similar kind of change, Brian. When you look at the structure of Test cricket, 50 over cricket, and 2020 cricket, then you look at the structure of the music industry: an album and a single, and now it's actually you just do a song and put it on, and it gets a million streams, and that's considered now to be a hit.
Yeah, and if you get a million streams, you get $1,000.
Is that right? Is that all it's worth?
That's what it's worth.
My God.
Yeah, what's her name? Aloe Black did a song that had 12.5 million hits, and for that they got $12,500. And there was three of them that wrote the song, so it was about $4,000 each. But it cost them $2,000 each to record it. So for 12.5 million hits, they made $6,000. Fantastic.
And I've been watching as the series is now finished, but I watched The Sound, the new kind of countdown of this generation. Which, yeah. You know, they really tried to do a good job, and I think they did do a good job. But all they talked about was, you know, this artist from Brisbane has had 5 million streams, and it sounded so impressive. Now it's not all that impressive now that you break it down into what it's worth.
They worry about little kids, you know, in Asia making shoes for $2 a day. Well, you know, they're pretty much doing that to musicians anyway.
Yeah, geez, that's a good point.
You know, like $1,000 to a million hits, give me a break.
That's
rubbish.
Yeah, that is when you break it down like that, that's quite staggering. That's sad. That's really sad.
Yeah, and it's just sort of saying, it's really saying, oh, well, we've got the platform, we're Spotify, and we're more important than the music, you know, and so we're taking most of the money, and stuff you can have $1,000 for every million hits. Doesn't seem very fair to me.
Yeah. Why has the music industry always been built on the fact that the artist is the last one to get the money?
Because artists are traditionally not good at business. They get sucked in by the show and their ego gets in the way of making good business decisions, and they're easy to prey on because they're so vulnerable ego-wise.
Yeah. Jeez,
and there's a lot of, and it attracts a lot of really shonky people, especially in the 80s. Some of those managers going around in the 80s, just an absolute, just crooks, just panic of crooks.
Yep.
So anyway.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at people like, and whether you like their music or not, but Sting and Billy Joel and Phil Collins, all those have all got massive stories of the amount of money that was fleeced off them.
Yeah, every band does, I reckon. Maybe. Except Alice Cooper, he seems to have a really good relationship with his manager, but most of them seem to get shafted at some point.
Yeah, no, it's very sad, indeed. All right, let's get stuck into this week now. Finally, you need to tell us about the criteria for this week's list because it was it came from you.
Yeah, a little controversial as well.
A little.
I just thought the letter Z, and in all forms, so band names, song names, artist surnames, album names,
yep,
instruments beginning with Z, music genres beginning with Z. I like the letter Z. I've got a son called Zane. I think it's a good letter.
Yep. All right. Well, it was a challenge. How'd you go, Bri?
Well, it was. I found this one very difficult, very difficult. But, you know, I just rolled up my sleeves and got into it, and I have selected my five worst Zeds and my five best Zeds.
Very good.
Good work.
Now,
I reckon to be fair, sorry, mm-hmm. Now I normally go first, don't I? I should go last in the order.
Okay.
This time.
All right. No, that's fine. Now, I want to say that I too rolled up my sleeves. I did what is now known as, and it's a new expression I only learnt this week, through homeschooling and through doing this list of Zeds. I did a day of self-directed learning, which is apparently what they call the day where the teachers don't do anything and the students don't do anything, and you apparently go off and do your own thing. So I did a day of self-directed learning to come up with my list. And Brian, I think you should set us off with your number five on your list of bads.
Okay. My number five is a movie.
Yep.
And it's an Australian movie.
Ooh.
And it stars Mel Gibson.
Ooh.
And it stars Kat Sobrano's dad, and it's got a bit of kung fu in it, and it's got some army men, and it's called Attack Force Z.
Oh.
Not a great movie.
I don't know it.
It's one of Mel Gibson's first movies, and Kat Sobrano's dad's he's a real good kung fu guy.
Yeah, he is.
And
yeah.
he's in it, and he's the main guy in it. I think Mel Gibson's in it, but they kill him off fairly early in the piece.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Attack Force Z. Actually, it's probably such a bad movie, it's probably worth watching and be quite entertaining because it's so bad.
And I would imagine there would be, it was obviously shot here.
Yeah, sort of up in Queensland, it looks like, because I think they're roaming around New Guinea and they're fighting the Japs. with Kung Fu and stuff.
Okay. Oh, well, there'll probably be some cameo appearances in that would be well worth having a look at. Well, my number five is obviously the letter Z, and it's someone's name. But it's not the name that we know him as, but it's the name that is his real name, and he's appeared of recent weeks in our show, and that's Robert Zimmerman, who of course is Bob Dylan.
Oh yeah.
So my number five is Bob Dylan, and look, because it's such a cherished.
He's bad.
Yeah.
Did you badly?
Yeah. Well, this song is.
Okay.
Hurricane. I just every time Hurricane comes on, I just have to turn the radio off and have a little vomit.
Really?
Pistol shouting out in the barroom.
He's a bartender in a pool of blood. Guys, I'm a guy that killed them all. Yeah, great song. Anyway.
Great song?
Oh, it's really good. I like it.
Oh, no. Sorry. Every time I hear it, I just go, oh, no. Because it goes on forever too, which a lot of Bob's stuff does.
Yeah.
Well, you can listen to it on the Spotify playlist there, Brian. And Bob, Robert Zimmerman will probably make two-fifths of you-know-what out of us putting on the Spotify playlist.
All right,
Fonny, you're number five now.
Okay, my number five in the bad list. Have you ever heard the expression skips a generation?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's what happened with the Marley family. Bob, brilliant. Ziggy, not so brilliant. He's able to turn, reggae, and reggae as sung by Bob Marley really had some meaning, didn't it? It was soulful and full of depth. He turns it into bubblegum pop, and that song, Tomorrow People, makes me puke.
Oh, yes. Oh, okay. There you go. Ziggy Marley. Yeah, okay. Nice start. I reckon Brian's got Ziggy in the good list anyway. Your number four, Brian?
My number four is Zig from Zig and Zag. Zag was all right, but I think Zig had a few problems. Or maybe I've got it the other way around, but you know the one I mean.
Yeah, we know the one you mean. Now, what was the song? What was their theme song?
Yeah.
You and me, can we be partners? Is that it?
That's it.
Yeah.
And me, yeah, you can and me. We be pals?
Look, I'm with you, Brian. Any idiot that wears an ice cream cone upside down on their head is guaranteed to get a brain freeze.
Now, didn't Kevin Sheedy dress up as one of them for a footy show pretend moment that never happened? That it was that 100th show, whatever they did, and they said these things. Here's some highlights, and it was Kevin Sheedy dressed as Zig and Zag or something, and it never actually happened on the real show.
That rings a bell because they had Robbie Muir cracking the shit.
Yeah, they did.
The show.
And pushing the desk over and all
never
that.
Happened.
I'm sure on the same show, Kevin was dressed up as Zig or Zag. I can't remember which one.
Anyway.
All right, so Zig's your number four. My number four is Zag, but not Zag, that Zag. It's Zag-er and his mate Evans, a duo out of Canada, who had a little tune in the late 60s, I think it was 1969 or thereabouts, called In the Year 2525.
Oh.
Which is one of the goddamn awful songs of all time. Will man still be alive? Will woman thrive? Whatever it are, just awful bloody lyrics. Terrible.
Woman can survive.
That's it. Awful song. And tedious and pretentious as the late 60s got. Number four, Farnie.
Okay, I'm going back a few years to 98.
1898.
1898.
Oh, right, eh?
Now, it won't be on Spotify, but you can definitely listen to this and get a copy of this off YouTube because I listened to it today.
Yeah.
It's an old ragtime refrain called Zizzy Zazum.
Oh.
And it was a bit. In 1898, everybody was singing Zizzy Zazum.
Is that right?
Yep. And let me tell you, it's not a great song.
Right. Okay.
But 1898 by John Terrell, a big man at the time. And I guess the interesting thing is that there's a recording of it from 1898 that people can listen to.
I didn't realise that we were doing recordings in 1898.
Yep. Well, there is a Zizzy Zazum.
Jeez. Okay. We'll find that on YouTube and we'll whack it up on the Facebook page. Righto, Brian. Number three.
Okay. Number three. I'm going to go for the Police album, Zenyatta Mondatta or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
I can't stand the Police. They shit me. I don't stand so close to me as on this album.
Yep.
And it's not the worst song in the world because the do 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 da 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 is the worst song in the world.
Yes.
So, but yeah, they can stick it up their ass. They're laughing at the audience. Laughing at the audience, bringing out the do 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 da 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 da. They're just saying these people will buy any old piece of shit. That'll do, and it's just unfair.
Ah, Brian, we're on the same astral plane. Number three, Zenyatta Mondatta, da do 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 da da da. Yes, I agree. What an insult! A bloody insult to your intelligence.
Yeah, they just don't give a shit. They're running around like Essendon, just taking the money and not giving a shit about the quality of their work.
Have you seen that? Have you seen the clip on YouTube of Sting in the audience at some award show? And I think it's Jose Feliciano and a bunch of people are singing his songs on stage.
No.
Well, you've got to see it. And with due respect to Jose Feliciano, who I think is a very talented musician, I can't remember what song it is that he's doing, but he absolutely murders it. It is just awful. And Sting is sitting next to his lovely wife, looking and that uncomfortable smile of, oh, my God, this is absolutely bloody terrible what he's doing to my song. It's just, you've got to have a look at it. If I can find it, I'll put it up on YouTube and put it up on our Facebook page. It's one of the more uncomfortable moments you will ever see someone listening to someone else do their song. Be like you listening to me and Finey doing 50 years and sort of like, you know, wanting to vomit.
I'd enjoy that. That'd be good.
Careful what you wish for, Mr. Mannix. Following on his fine performance of singing last week, Finey may go again.
Right.
May not.
we'll take a little moment here to play it because people might not have heard it because Steve, our producer, put the Don't Cry For Me Argentina music underneath it, Finey. And
I heard it. It was brilliant.
Yeah, it was on the end of last week's show. So if you missed it, we're just going to slip it in here now. Here is Finey. This is touching. This is really touching. This is Don't Cry For Me, Daniel Andrews.
Don't lie to me, Daniel Andrews. The truth is, you like the attention, not to mention making us all frantic. And just one more thing, your ears are gigantic.
All right, Finey, there you go. Now you've sung for yourself.
Thanks for that.
Now tell us your number three.
Okay. All right, I've got to pull my fingers out of my mouth because this one really makes me sick.
Right.
What you going to say then?
Back in 1991, this song reached number four on the UK singles chart.
God.
For a little-known performer called Zoe. Mm. Her name was Zoe Pollock. Okay. She went by the name Zoe. And it got all the 1991 production values that you despise, including a bad film clip.
Right.
She doesn't sing it. She sort of scream, yells, whispers it. And I hate that. She's got no confidence in her voice. It's Sunshine on a Rainy Day.
Oh, yeah, I know the song. I know the song. Yep. I don't know if I know the version.
Yeah, it's a bad version.
Okay. It's quite a happy little pop song from memory.
Yeah, a pop earth.
Yeah.
and not in the conjugal sense.
Yes,
either.
I gathered that. Righto. We're down to number two, Brian Mannix.
Okay. This is a band called the Yeah, Yeah, Yeah. And they've got a song called Zero. And the girl singing in this, like Finey, she lacks confidence with her singing. And when you hear her, she's rightly lacks confidence with her singing. It kind of sounds like she's having a root with a pinball machine or some electronic piece of equipment.
Oh,
it's No, it's quite unpleasant. She's all over the shop like a mad woman. Shit. And this is a really bad song. Zero by the Yeah. So there's about 50 songs called Zero, by the way.
Yeah, I did notice that. I was searching for Zeros because I thought Elton John had a song called Zero, but it was an album called Too Low for Zero or something. A lot of songs called Zero that I'd never ever heard of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good title for a song. There's lots of them and they've all failed.
Now, my number two is a band, an Australian band, an Australian group, who will also feature in my good list. But this is one song they did because they went through a couple of phases as a band. And this was part of, I think this might have been their second hit. Their first hit I actually didn't mind. It was kind of poppy and it was silly and it was inoffensive. This is probably poppy, silly and inoffensive, but I couldn't stand this song. There was a whistle in it that I didn't like. I just thought this song was terrible. They were in all little pink outfits. They looked lovely. They were rock stars. They went on to do other things, many, many other things. Of course, I'm talking about the Zoot.
Oh, yeah.
And I liked One Times, Two Times, Three Times, Four. I thought that was okay. But then they followed it up with this thing called Monty and Me, which was about a dog, and I thought it was a dreadful song. So that sits in my number two. Daryl does this thing where we go, one of those whistles in it too, which didn't work for me. But they will feature in my good list later on, I'm pleased to say. Your number two, Finey.
Well, this is by a band that I never really liked anyhow. I find them quite cold and off-putting. Mm-hmm. And it is The Repetitive Zombie by the Cranberries.
Oh!
Zombie. I'm worried by girls, you know, who go to the barbers and ask for a, you know, number two shave all over.
Now, I don't think I'm wrong here. Now, Dolores, the singer of the Cranberries, has passed away, I believe, hasn't she?
I think she's dead.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know. She's not. We'll just report that she's dead anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. We killed a few people.
Yeah, we may have done another one there. No, I'm pretty sure she passed away 18 months ago.
If she's not dead, she's been very quiet.
Oh, shit, thanks. Jesus, Brian.
What?
Oh, the zombie by the Cranberries is in there. Okay. We're up to your number one, Brian.
Oh, well, this is a movie.
Oh, yeah. And, so's mine.
It's about a science accident that goes wrong, and it affects Scott Baio, and he gets a telekinetic power, and this enables him to foil bullies and also lift up girls' skirts with his telekinetic power, look at their undies, and it also features a vomiting competition in halfway through the movie, which is supposedly the highlight of the film.
Oh, God.
So Zapped, starring Scott Baio. What a shit film.
Zapped. Okay. My number one is also a movie. And it's the soundtrack of the movie as well as the movie, because the movie was released in the late 60s to much fanfare and what was I, 12 or 13 at the time, lots of naked bodies, all filmed out in Death Valley in California, which is where this particular place is, the name of the film. So there's lots of, you know, beautifully suntanned naked bodies everywhere and supposedly a soundtrack that was going to, you know, through the roof. An Aussie starred in it as well, was part of it. Harrison Ford is in the film as an uncredited kind of extra role that he had before he became famous. And the soundtrack featured Pink Floyd, the Youngbloods, the Grateful Dead. Had an amazing soundtrack of people featuring great, well-known songs like the excerpt from The Dark Star by The Grateful Dead. You'll remember that one. Pink Floyd's two big songs in the movie soundtrack were Heartbeat, Pig Meat. Remember that one?
I love it.
Yeah. And my personal favourite from the soundtrack album, although there was two actually, on the bonus disc that came out in the late 1990s, they had the love scene improvisations, the music for all the love scene improvisations. There were six of those, so you can imagine there was a lot of naked bodies rolling around in this thing. The album was described as being considerably deeper and more coherent than the film, which is a worry. But my favourite song was "Come In Number 51, Your Time Is Up." And it is a film called Zabriskie Point, which is my number one by a long. It was pumped up that it was this kind of like sex romp, and it would, you know, was in that age when, you know, Hair was out and all those sort of Easy Rider was a big film then and all that stuff. And then this thing comes out, and it was the most pretentious, god awful heap of crap that has ever been put on a movie screen anywhere. It is just dreadful. But that's my point about Zabriskie Point.
All right.
Number one, funny.
All right. I just do not get this artist at all.
Oh.
And I don't know what you needed to be smoking or doing or licking. Yeah, I reckon you'd be licking toads. But I don't know. Maybe you guys like Frank Zappa. I don't get it. I just do not get Frank Zappa. And there's a track, Montana, which Zappa fans love, which means I hate it. So my number one is Montana by Frank Zappa.
Yeah, I must admit, I never got Frank Zappa either.
No, he kind of lost me when he had the poster with him sitting on the toilet with his pants around his ankles.
Yes, I remember that. No, never got him. Never got him. And he was.
I don't think I want to see my rock stars taking a dump.
No.
But, you know, everybody's got their own thing.
Not really big on that either myself. And they were a massive stadium band in America, weren't they? Was it the Mothers of Invention was the name of the band?
Yeah.
They were massive in America. All right, number five. Now we move to the good Z's. What do you got, or Z's, depending if you watch Sesame Street or not. What do you got, Brian?
Well, this is one I just found this morning. This is how bad I was going. I was struggling. It's a song called, it's an album and a song called Zeit.
Yeah.
And it's by Tangerine Dream.
Oh, yeah, they're a European band.
Yeah, they take some drugs and listen to us kind of band. and this song, Zeit, is quite good in that it just sounds like the soundtrack to a horror film. Like, I don't think there's any vocals or anything, but it's just like this menacing sort of horror movie soundtrack. And I quite liked it. It sort of had some pretty cool sounds in it. And, you know, I could see myself, you know, getting a bit shit-faced and listening to it and enjoying it. So there you go. Like Tangerine Dream.
Now, I reckon, Finny, I reckon you might know a bit about them because I think they're – are they a German band or a Dutch band or something?
They sound Dutch.
Yeah.
I'm going to look it up.
Thought you might have known them. My number five is it's a bit obscure. Okay, it's a tenuous link, but it's a link nonetheless. Z. Now, Z is the letter that we're looking at. So I've gone Zsa Gabor.
Oh, yeah.
Now she didn't. She did a couple of recordings, but the link with Zsa is her sister Ava. Ava, of course, starred in the television series Green Acres.
Green Acres.
And I think Green Acres is one of the best TV themes ever. So I put that in at number five as the sister of Zsa, Ava, in Green Acres. So Green Acres is the number five for me with the tenuous link of the Z there, which we had licensed.
I'll tell you what, I think it behooves you to sing us a bit of it.
Now, hang on, there's a goodbye story. That was the one with, Green Acres. I'm trying to think, how's it start?
Green Acres is the place to be.
Farm living is the life for me. Give me Park Avenue. Oh, cause I'm trying to think of the words.
Darling, I love you, but give me Park Avenue.
That's the one. It's in there. Number five. There you go.
I'll tell you what. If Zsa Zsa Gabor had been in Minneapolis, George Floyd would still be alive. She would have just gone up and slapped that copper right in the face.
That's right. She did too, didn't she? She slapped the policeman in LA and got into all sorts of trouble.
Yeah, she just slaps him if they get out of line. She's going to clip across the face.
That's right.
Georgie would have got up, wouldn't have been all good.
Yeah, that's right. All right, number five from you, Mr. Fine.
Now, I don't want to correct you, but I'm big on movie, that TV show thing.
Yes.
I reckon Green Acres is the place to be. Farm living is the life for me. Land spreading out so far and wide. Keep Manhattan, just give me that countryside.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on from there.
Yes.
All right.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
And then they have that bit you know, where they go back and forth. The Saws.
Yeah, that's right.
That one. So, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, no, good.
My number five.
Yes.
Ziggy Stardust by David Bowie.
Good work.
Yeah, good work.
Very good.
Yeah, needs no explanation, really, does it? It's just a good song. Just a good song.
Good song.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. Righto, Brian, you're number four.
Okay, what am I going to do for number four? Okay, for number four, I'm going to go for World War Z. It's a zombie movie starring Brad Pitt, and it's not bad. It's not great, but it's interesting. It's probably a 7.5 out of 10 movie. World War Z with Brad Pitt.
A zombie movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's quite good.
My number four could be a zombie band, and many people would think they are, but they did a couple of songs that I actually liked, and I've coupled them together as my number four. ZZ Top, number four, with Tush, which I really liked. Was one of their early albums, and the other one was LaGrange. I always liked LaGrange. I thought it was a really good song. I thought they hadn't worn out their welcome at that stage. That was in their early days, it was relatively fresh and new on the radio at that stage, whereas, you know, 15 years later when you heard the same song done in slightly different ways 45 times, you probably got a little bit tired of them. But they were the two songs that I really liked of ZZ Top. So they make it in there at my number four. Funny?
This is a famous movie, but even more famous than the movie. Well, it's a very famous book, actually, that I had to study at school. So I hated it.
Yeah.
And the movie was quite famous, starring Anthony Quinn. But the music, now that is fantastic. Zorba the Greek, the music, I think that is sort of every non-Greek go-to for a bit of Greek plate-smashing music, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Very, very powerful film. It was a massive film. Was Sophia Loren in that?
I know Anthony Quinn was
I remember him in it.
I just remember the book was by Nikos Kazantzakis, I think. But one of those typical things you do in form 4 or 5, year 10 or 11 for the younger listeners, where it's full of hidden meanings and, you know, philosophical outlook on life and worldviews. And, you know, it's about as easy to get through for a 14-year-old as, you know, a quagmire on flat tires. It's so hard to do as a student. And all, when the exams came, all that I could hear going through my head was, na 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 na. Bloody music.
Yeah, the music, absolutely. All right, Brian, your number three?
My number three is another movie. This is a great film. Woody Harrelson. Zombieland.
Oh, okay.
It's really funny. It's great. It's a coming of age love story that just happens to be set during zombie apocalypse. But it's a cute little love story. It's a great film. Really funny.
Do you like zombie films?
I love them.
Oh, okay. So I can't.
They're great.
Yeah, I can't get into them. Some
of my worst nightmares involve zombies.
Yeah. I kind of like the zombie theme that, you know, Alice does and that Michael Jackson did and all that stuff. But for a whole movie, it's like, find it a little.
And the video games, they're just frightening because you're playing fighting the zombies off, but you know that eventually they will get you and they jump out of nowhere and, you know, you're running around the White House as Richard Nixon with a shotgun shooting the zombies, but you know that eventually they're going to get you. It's really terrifying.
There you go. That's what happens at lockdown at Brian's house.
All right.
My number three is, well, actually, it's a dreadful song, but it is so bad. It's the car crash song of my list. Because it is just, I watched it yesterday, I watched the clip. The clip is uncomfortable. The clip is pretentious. The clip it's dreadful. And it's just the band playing. So it's not like, you know, arty farty stuff going on. It's just the band playing. The lyrics are probably as bad as anything you could possibly, and the rhyming of this word into about three or four other words is quite childlike. It's like almost a failed grade 3 English. The band is called and wouldn't be, I don't think you'd be allowed to call them these days. It's Fat Larry's band, and the song is Zoom. And it is Zoom rhymes with boom, which rhymes with room, which rhymes with, and it's just like a Sesame Street how to write lyrics for a pop song with that little bing, 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 bing noise going on through the whole thing. It's it's quite vomit inducing, but it's just that bad that it's couldn't help but like it. So that's my number three, Fat Larry.
Okay.
Right, your number three, Finey.
I'm going to the boys in beards. Aren't members of the band's name actually Beard or something?
Frank Beard.
Yeah, ZZ Top.
But he doesn't have a beard.
Yeah, correct.
He's the one without a beard.
Yeah.
Beard doesn't have a beard.
Yeah, that's funny. And Sharp Dressed Man.
Okay, yeah, I don't mind that one either.
Yeah, I can do without it.
You don't like them, do you?
No, I don't really. They, you know, I don't hate them, but they just don't sort of float in the boat.
Yeah. I don't know that I could sit through a concert. I mean, I can hear a couple of songs and go, yeah, yeah. But a concert, I think, would. Have you ever seen them live, Finey?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. I don't know if I could sit through a whole show.
I thought I saw three or four members of them walking down Ripon Lee one day, but no.
Yes.
It turned out not to be them.
Yeah, that was the annual Ripon Lee ZZ Top convention that they have every year. Of course.
Yeah, yeah. Quite a few of them.
Every Saturday, in fact. All right, number two, what do you got, Brian?
Well, I just thought of one. I'm going to change one because I think what I had is number two. One of you guys will probably pick it up anyway.
Right.
this is a book. And it's a movie, and it's written by Easton Ellis. Is that his name? The guy that wrote American Psycho.
Yeah.
It's Less Than Zero, and it's about rich kids in Hollywood in the 80s, and how debauched and stuffed up they are.
Yeah, good film. Good film.
Yeah, it's a great movie, and it's a really good book. I'm going to sneak that in there. Less Than Zero.
I got a feeling James Spader was in the film version.
Yes, he was. So was Robert Downey Jr. Because Robert Downey Jr. owes all this money because he's got a cocaine problem. He ends up having to do tricks for gay men, and it's just a nightmare.
Art imitating life.
They've got everything, but they're kind of really sad. There's really sad lives these people have. But anyway, good movie.
Yep. No, a good cast, really good cast. Yeah, good film. All right, my number two is a band, and I've actually grouped three of their songs because I really really like this band. I think they're really good. They're called The Zombies, and I love She's Not There, which I reckon is just a great song. Tell Her No, which is a really good little pop song, but my favourite zombie song of all time is Time of the Season. So I've got The Zombies in at number two because I just really like their work. I thought singer had a great voice. I think they went on and formed Argent after The Zombies, but they were three really, really good songs that they did in the late 60s, early 70s, The Zombies. Number two for you, Mr. Fan.
Okay, this is an iconic sort of dance track. Now, I've got to say that back in the day, I never saw either of you upstairs at Revolver, but I was there. And
oh, really?
On Sunday morning, about 8:30 a.m., this was a bit of an anthemic song. It's by, and by the way, Tangerine Dream are German.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
And this is by a German electronic outfit called Kernkraft 400.
And hang on, cool. This used to come on at about the same time Andrew O'Keefe was lying in the gutter out front of Revolver. Is that right?
Yeah, no, he was more a I reckon he was deposited there sometime during darkness. This was a
right.
This was like a He just didn't know what happened to him. I know what happened to him. I got a fairly good idea what was going on.
A similar thing happened to Todd McKenny. He woke up in the park with drugs in his pocket. He didn't know how they got there. Anyway.
Yeah. Weren't you talking about, I was going to say something you said about the previous movie, but I could get in trouble.
Yes. So what's the band's name again? Something 400?
Kernkraft 400.
Right.
And this is a song called Zombie Nation.
Okay.
And when you play it, you'll get a sense of where I'm at. There's not a lot of lyrics to it. The lyrics are zombie, 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 zombie nation.
Oh, right. That's it.
And it's not a drum roll. It's Andrew O'Keefe falling down the stairs.
you're a dog with a bone, aren't you, Mannix?
those stairs can be pretty steep after all.
Exactly.
Oh, you set the dogs off with that Zombie Nation, with that Andrew O'Keefe business. They're big fans of Andrew. Oh, he's a good man.
Good grief. All right, number one, Mannix, what have you got?
Oh, look, this was something I fluked it when I was in Perth with touring in Perth, and me and the keyboard player like watching strange movies. And funnily enough, we watched this in French the first time, or Spanish. We didn't realise it had an English version.
Oh.
And we loved it in Spanish. And it's a movie that stars, what's it, Robert Englund, that plays Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
And the movie's called Zombie Strippers. And this all takes place in the strip joint, and a couple of the strippers are zombies, and then all hell breaks loose, and there's the zombies, and they're eating the people in the strip joint, and then what they do with vintage balls is just absolutely mind-blowing. And, this movie will change your life. It's a beauty. Zombie Strippers. Check it out.
Yeah. Proving the expression, you don't have to be stiff to be dead. Or dead to be stiff, whichever one you want to do. Just the idea of you and the keyboard player in the early hours of the morning sitting in a hotel room watching zombie strippers. What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, fantastic. when you're sitting there, you're having a beer and you're watching the zombie strippers at 3 in the morning, you say to yourself, well, life doesn't get much better than this.
I'm sure you did. All right. My number one, and I've got a feeling it might be Finey's too, is I don't want to gazump you, so I'll just it's Eleanor Rigby by The Zoot.
Yeah, good song. Great version.
Great song. Great version. The song they did after I didn't like, I can't remember what it was called. Is it called The Freak? I think Rick sang it. Daryl sang Eleanor Rigby. Rick sang the next one. It was a horrible song, but Eleanor Rigby, top class, great version, love it. Finey, have I gazumped you?
Now, before I give my number one, because Brian has now got me so intensely involved in zombie movies, a couple of apologies, because there are a couple of zombie movies that I love.
Oh.
But they're not zombie movies per se. They're movies by the director Rob Zombie. Are you familiar with?
Yes.
So he had two movies, one and then a sequel, that is the greatest combination of gore, blood and horror and humour that you'll probably ever get. And the first one is House of a Thousand Corpses.
Yes.
The second one is called Devil's Reject.
All right.
And there's a character in both of them called Captain Spaulding, who's a partly makeup wearing clown.
Okay.
And there is a scene, I think it's in Devil's Reject, where he has to commandeer a car, and it's at a sort of a wayside grocery store, and there's just a normal mother and son about to get into the car. And he just runs up and he goes, ma'am, I'm going to have to take your car. And she goes, what are you talking about? And he goes, official clown business. Then she goes to her son, Tommy, get in the car. And he just walks over to her, punches her cold in the face and knocks her out cold.
Oh,
then jumps in the car and little Tommy's sitting in the front seat, shaking. And he leans over to Tommy and he goes, what's the matter, kid? Don't you like clowns? Then kicks him out of the car.
Oh, bloody hell.
What a movie.
Oh, I'm traumatised just hearing about it, let alone seeing it. Good God.
Oh, yeah. Absolute ripper, Captain Spaulding. But, yep, my number one song is Zoot. Eleanor Rigby.
Yeah, beautiful.
All right.
Beautiful. Fitting way to end. There's a great version of Eleanor Rigby, just a great version. Looking forward. We'll cobble together what we can of a a Spotify playlist here and whack that up with this episode.
Can I just apologise to Zoolander? I thought that was going to probably get a Guernsey somewhere.
Oh, the Ben Stiller film?
Yeah, I thought that should have got a Guernsey. And probably in the bad list, I'd probably give mention to Molly's dog.
Ziggy.
Because when Ziggy dies, Molly just gets another dog exactly the same and calls it Ziggy. He's up to about Ziggy. He's up to about Ziggy Ford at the moment. Oh, and
that's you don't know that.
He does. He's got. It might not be four, but definitely at least Ziggy three.
Oh goodness
me! He just gets the dog, replaces the dog with a new one, looks the same, calls him the same name as if it never happened.
Oh jeez.
A bit weird that.
Wasn't Rod Stewart doing that with wives at one set? No, I didn't know. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's
hand me another blonde.
there's an ad around at the moment too, which I almost put in it. And they've taken, you know that song, and I think it's a Bonnie Tyler song, Hanging Out for a Hero. You're Holding Out for a Hero.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They've taken that song, a bank or a building society of some description has taken that song and changed it into Holding Out for a Zero. Because they're doing zero, a credit card with zero interest rate on it or whatever it is. So they've got this little stuffed animal type thing singing this version of Holding Out for a Zero, which is Holding Out for a Hero. One of the worst ads I've ever seen and one of the worst songs going around, and they've turned that into an ad to infuriate us even more than the actual song did.
But anyway. While you're on that, does anybody know what the actual words are to I'm pissing out the back of the car? Or what is it they're doing at the back of the car? They're pissing, they're rooting. I'm rooting in the back of the car. I'm spewing out the back of the car. I don't know what they're doing in the back of that car, but it doesn't sound too flash to me.
We'll investigate and reveal all in the next edition of Ruck and Roll. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a good week. Stay safe. Stay good. I hope your footy team goes well for the final week of the season. We'll talk next week.
All right.
I'm catching you from Z. See ya.
Oh, I see what you did.
Beautiful.
See you then.
See you, boys.
See ya. Bye.
See you, mate.
You've just experienced Ruck and Roll. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Facebook.